It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, and so pleased that you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and we'll begin the study. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to check out our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. We've got many studies there. I hope that you would look to them, enjoy them, come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and then begin to grow closer and closer to Jesus. And if you'd like to email us, you could at Parkview Bible Church or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com or parkviewbible@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. So glad that you have to have you today. Let's begin the study as we look to the precious Word. We read from Acts chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Let's end there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this time. It's such a joy to be able to open your precious Word and to study it and to learn from it. It is just, it's so important that we don't just open this precious book, this living book, and just read it. We need to search it, study it, take time in it. Let your Spirit touch our hearts with it, bring us to salvation, and then help us to grow each and every day to be closer and closer to you. So please, dear Father, guide and lead us each and every day. Bring those that do not know you as their Savior to you today, please. Use this study. Use your words to convict their hearts. And then, again, give us a wonderful life of joy, serving and praising and honoring you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these words, these scripture verses here that you have given us, so divinely given us, it's wonderful that we look to this, and as it says in verse 2, suddenly, and we've talked about the day of Pentecost, it fully come, we talked about that, it is 50 days after the resurrection, and so we know that 40 days after the resurrection, our Lord and Savior went home, and he said, I'll send the Comforter, and that's what we have right here. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all in agreement, all awaiting what the Lord had so promised them. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And I'm in there, remember, there's 120 present here. And again, that wind was very familiar. And we're going to go back to Ezekiel. We kind of got, I don't know if we got started there last time or not. I know we run out of time as we always do. But let's go to Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 37. And we're going to read something here concerning the wind. It's a beautiful message. Ezekiel 37, and we're going to begin with verse 1. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said to me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, and behold, I will cause breath to enter into them, and ye shall live. And I will lay in sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews, tendons, the muscles, and the flesh came up on them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, and they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. What a miracle. What a story. The wind. And he said, Prophesy unto the wind, and it brought life. Well, my dear friend, that's what happens the day that you trust in the Lord Jesus. You come from being just dead bones to a living soul. And so I hope that you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I wanted to read that because as we look at this beautiful message here, we have, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, as a sound. And it's the same thing with the fire, tongues like as fire in verse 3. It's the only description that we can have here. And so, but the wind would be very common to them because they would know that message back in Ezekiel about those dry bones. And when they heard the wind, they knew something wonderful, something magnificent, something powerful was going to happen when they heard that sound. You know, we can go back to the Gospel of John, John chapter 3. And we can look at the 8th verse, John chapter 3, verse 8. The Lord Jesus uses the wind here. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh or whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So you see, we have different times that the word is used. The word wind is applied to the coming of power, the coming of life, the coming of the Spirit, as it is in this case here. Now let's go to John, the Gospel of John, or stay in John here, and let's go to chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 22. Back up just a little bit here. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now there was a time of power, and then this is when the church received its power. Let's go to a couple other verses of Scripture here, because we have so many that concerns this, and I think it's good to read them. Let's go to Psalms. Back to Psalms 104. Psalm 104. 104, verse 3. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariots, and who walketh upon the wings of the wind. We have so many beautiful, beautiful verses of Scripture there. Let's go back to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19, then we'll get on with the study. But I just love to see the application of the wind. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. And he said, Go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passeth by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou, Elijah? And the story goes on. It's a beautiful message, but here we have once again the wind, the wind, the wind. And so coming back now to Acts, and we find the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. There is no suggestion, no thought here, no statement, no promise or words that the wind was actually present. There was a great sound as of a mighty wind, but no wind. You know, normally we have wind, you have a storm, you have thunder, you have lightning. Sometimes you just have wind. And yet, there was no wind. I believe that it was just that sound, that powerful sound. That rushing sound. And it came down to the hearers. They came out of heaven. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, back in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10, we have the cloud. And it filled the temple when they dedicated Solomon's temple. But this is much greater, because this is the birth of the church. Yes, the cloud was the presence of God, and so is this. But this brings in the birth of the church. And as we see here then, once again, verse 2 of chapter 2 of Acts, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. In all the house where they were sitting. And so that's the first step. Now this sound came and filled the house. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. So now we come from just filling the room as this cloud filled the temple. But now we find first the sound, and then came the cloven tongues like as of fire. So we have it. It sounded like wind, but there was no wind. We have now the appearance here of cloven tongues like as of fire, like as of. Remember that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. These disciples heard the sound as of a mighty rushing wind. And the sound did not speak. The wind was to them a symbol, my dear friend, of the Holy Spirit coming. The power of God coming. The Holy Spirit must always accompany the word, or there can be no faith, living faith. And so as we find here that we have this sound, this rushing mighty wind, that sound, and then we have this appearance, it appears like a cloven tongue, like as of fire. All this takes place as we find the birth of the church about to be born. The cloven tongues means parted tongues. Each tongue was parted, but the tongues were separate, one for each of these individuals that were there. These tongues sat up on each of the 120 people in this upper room. These tongues came, and it was the appearance of a tongue long like that, but it had the appearance of fire, as of fire, like fire. It wasn't fire, but it had that appearance. And again, what the Holy Spirit is doing here is taking something that we know and understand and trying to explain that to us, what took place here. The sound like a mighty wind. The cloven tongues as of like fire. And each time it's trying to explain to us what this sounded like, what this looked like, this experience that these people had in the upper room, these 120. But we have the individual, each one received it. So it wasn't just across the whole room. It was each one that received this precious entering of the person of the Holy Spirit. To testify that the Holy Spirit come up on the entire company. Yes, it filled the house, but it came on individuals. And that's the way it is today. There is no universal salvation. There isn't any if you just attend church and if you're a good person. It is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the day that you trust in the Lord Jesus is the day the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart. So please, please don't be confused, misled, deceived by so many religions out there that stay away from the person, the personal relationship of the Lord Jesus that you can have if you'll trust in him today. Confess your sin. You can't confess your sin unless the Holy Spirit really convicts you. And that's the first purpose and job and work of the Holy Spirit, is to convict your heart of sin and then trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. That comes first. Something we need to understand, because a lot of people think that when you're saved and you get, you know, a little bit of the Holy Spirit, and the more I surrender, the more of the Spirit I get. No, you get all of the Spirit. It just is a matter of whether you allow the Spirit to control you, or you're going to continue to live this worldly life, and you'll be miserable because the Holy Spirit is directing you to live a godly life wants you to search the Word of God, wants you to be in church, wants you to be baptized, wants you to follow. Baptism is something that only comes after you have trusted in the Lord Jesus. Some churches require baptism for salvation. No. No. You must be born again. That brings you salvation. Yes, you should be baptized, but that is just showing people what's happened in your heart and is not connected. Because if you connect baptism or any other action to your salvation, salvation is not free. It's by works, and it's not by works. You must understand that. You must understand that. And the Holy Spirit is not given by measure. The Holy Spirit, when you trust in Jesus as your Savior, you receive all of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. You don't divide it. You don't get part of Him. You get all of Him the day that you trust in the Lord Jesus. He is not portioned out. He comes fully, cloven tongues, not literal fire, like as of fire, something visible they saw. They heard, as we hear the Word of God, then they saw. What a joy. This in the Word of God is symbolic of righteousness and holiness and judgment of Almighty God. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Been in the Old Testament quite a bit today. Go back to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Remember, He's righteous and He's holy, and He brings perfect judgment. The word here is consuming fire. This is not a consuming fire. This is like, as of fire. It has that look there, that appearance. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Our God is a consuming fire. Don't think for a second that God does not require righteousness. And the only way righteousness comes is through His Son, the Lord Jesus. Nothing you can do, nothing can satisfy a righteous God except what His Son has done for us. The Lord Jesus died on the cross, took your sins away. Tongues here. Again, it must resemble the human tongue in its appearance. But this appearance of a human tongue helps us to understand the new tongue, the new language that comes into the mouth of every person. Before I was saved, I had a foul mouth. When I got saved, God took care of that. He dealt with that. He showed me how evil and how wrong that was. And I speak differently. Now, the language that you hear today from old people, middle-aged people, young people, oh, it's terrible. The reason that we have that language problem is because they do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Because the day you trust in the Lord Jesus is the day that that language begins to change. And so it does give us not only a new heart, but it begins to straighten up our mind and begins to straighten up our mouth and our language, that we speak rightly and properly. Many times, God appears to Israel in a flame of fire. We have a couple examples back here in Exodus. I hope when we're doing this that you just kind of keep your hand in Acts, and that way you can always jump back it quickly, because we always return there. Exodus chapter 3. Verses 2 through 6. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him, being Moses, appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out to him. Remember, he waited for him to turn. He waits for us to turn to him. He called unto him out of the midst of that bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Let's go to Exodus 19. And fire brought him to it, but didn't consume the bush. Different than the fire that you and I are familiar with. Exodus 19, verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and thick clouds upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord ascended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. What a beautiful example of not only the wind, as we read in the Old Testament, but also of the fire. Now, so we have in verse 2, the wind. Next we have the cloven tongues as like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them individually. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Now that's tongues that folks understood as the Spirit gave them utterance. Remember, these folks were from, at this time at Pentecost, were from all over the known world. Now, we have the four Gospels that this is promised in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then also in Acts. And we're going to start there next time we get together, because there was a promise of this that was made by John the Baptist 3.5 years before. And we're going to read that, because they are promised, as the Scripture said. And if we could look here in Matthew very quickly before we run out of time, and we're getting very close here. Matthew chapter 3. Verse verse 11. It's baptized with water unto repentance. It starts. That's where we're going to begin the next time we get together. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?